has started.
Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good evening, Kenny.
Oh, good evening, Kyle.
Yeah. Hey, so it's Monday, April 10th, 2017. We're back here with another episode of Morning Show. Here's where things get confusing. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing tired.
Yeah, I figure. You just commuted a whole lot of many hours, and now you're here not really understanding what's going on, but I'm going to try and walk you through it slowly. This all is right, a show. This is what's called a podcast.
No. I know the origins. You want to move on to the story?
You want to skip that part? Okay. So then I got
fast forward.
I got bit by a radioactive python.
No.
And then.
No. I fell. Fast forward even more.
Okay. Skip that. Skip that intro. This is a show called Morning Show. Typically, we record in the morning, Tuesdays, 7 a.m. Pacific. Over at goodstuff.fm/live. Today we are not. That's the difference.
Oh, but Kyle, why aren't we recording normally? Well, people want to know.
People don't want to know. They really don't care. They just care whether or not this is in their podcast player of choice or not. And we have a whole boatload, if not a train load of people pulling into the Good Stuff station here saying, can I get that sweet, sweet Morning Show in my ears this morning? That's what I need.
Well, it'll definitely be in their feed in the morning.
Good. I hope so. Because
this morning.
That's right. It's now when you're listening to this.
Now it's the morning.
Now is now.
This was then.
This used to be what was now. And now you have now.
What's that from?
A movie? How did you get my now, dear listener? I need to know. Hey, Kenny, so this is Morning Show. We're hosted over on goodstuff.fm. Go check out our podcast network that we are a part of, because there's some other really great shows that you may like or you may not. If you don't like him, please tell me, because we need to know that kind of thing too. But a lot of people seem to like this program. They have done so by expressing their 5-star interest through a website called iTunes. And when they go to...
There's not a website called iTunes.
Is it though? I mean, I think
I'm going to go ahead and enter that into my www.itunes.com.
I didn't say it was
apple.com/iTunes/?CID=OAS-US-domains-iTunes.com.
Okay, go to that one. That's where you'll go. And folks have gone. I mean, they have trekked through the world webs and have finally made it to that domain to leave a 5-star review for us on iTunes, which does help other people find the show. We got a whole boatload of them. Train load. And the only reason I bring up the train, Kenny, is because I'm headed there. I'm getting on a literal one-way ticket straight to Chicago.
Chicago.
Is
that where Chick-fil-A comes from?
It might. I think you're thinking of Chick-fil-A. But that's fine. However you want to say it is okay with me.
Oh, bonjour. I am Chick-fil-A.
That's kind of Illinoising, if I do say so myself.
So have you already run the gambit on all the Chicago puns?
No, I'm saving them for the trip.
Oh, wait, the trip or the destination?
So we have 45 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
In a train.
Oh, my gosh.
In a train. Going to Chicago.
I've never taken a train
that far. It takes so long. I had no idea. And then we're flying back. But the train there takes forever.
Why are you taking a train, Kyle?
Well, it's a place I've never been to. I'm going.
A train?
A train is a place I've never been. It sounds like a Broadway musical waiting to happen. No.
The train is a place I've never been
before.
No, it's
before.
Not.
Before.
So I'm getting on a train with my wife. Her name is Carolyn, and we are celebrating in the knowledge of each other for the last 10 years. And it should be a joyous
That's a decade.
Time. It is a decade. So feel
what's the 10 year
feel old
10 year anniversary gift. I guess that's only for being married for 10 years, right?
I mean, close enough, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I guess
there's got to be a food gift that you can give people.
Ooh.
When, because we've talked about German chocolate cake. We've talked about cordon bleu. We've talked about tacos. Maybe. What else have we talked about?
I think the 10-year anniversary of knowing each other food gift is Chicago deep dish pizza.
Oh, I'm very excited to have that. I am also excited for a Chicago dog.
Ooh.
I will also be catching.
Are you guys going to see the Cubs?
Twice.
What? No, you're not.
Yep.
Liar.
No, not lying.
That's awesome. Who are they playing?
It's coming in right now.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
We're seeing the Cubs twice.
All right.
One day game, one night game. Because I do want to see what the stadium's like in the daytime, which it has done for the last 100 years or whatever. And
Kyle, it exists in the daytime and the nighttime. It doesn't like werewolf into a different stadium.
It could be. It could be. You don't
surprise.
I'm a new stadium.
Okay.
You don't know.
I don't. Are you gonna sit out in the bleachers Garner and chuck the ball and then you get it to the catcher and you tag him out? Oh, Ross, no.
Rosenbagger. He doesn't tag him out. I think you're thinking of Rosenbagger in Chicago.
He throws it to the catcher. Mm-hmm. The catcher catches it. They all go, huh? They all look out at the stands. Everyone in the stands is looking at Roland Garner. And then the guy slides.
Safe.
And then they freeze. They lift up again and they all look back at the stands.
Everyone's really enjoying you giving a play-by-play. It's a play-by-play of a baseball movie.
Rookie of the Year is one of my favorite films.
I know.
But is it even fair to call it a film?
Yes.
It's a movie.
No, it's a... No, that is a film. I can guarantee that it was shot on film cameras. Yes.
Are you allowed to call movies that have been shot digitally? Are you able to call those films?
Not going to get into it. Absolutely not going to get into that.
Not digis.
It's not my. We don't call them fizz.
Okay, then would we call them digitals? That sounds even worse.
They're called millennials, but you can get a pass for now. Hey, Kenny, let's get into some news. How about that?
Sure.
These are today's headlines.
Hey, full disclosure, I have the basketball game on in the background.
Ooh, who's
winning?
They
play the same two commercials on the stream that I'm watching.
Here we go.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
What's the score?
It's on commercial.
It's now. Now is the score.
Moving on, Kyle. We got some news. Stinking cooking odors. Stinky cooking odors. There we go. That's how you say that. Stinky cooking odors constitute a crime, Italy's Supreme Court rules. You try saying that 5 times fast. How about that?
I'm not going to.
Yeah, Kyle, cooking may be a national passion, but Italians who allow the pungent aroma of simmering pot of pasta sauce or a vat of deep fried fish to waft into a neighbor's home are committing a crime, the country's highest court has ruled. This is for sure. Let me finish.
Hold on.
Before you interject.
Okay, go ahead.
In the best traditions of legalese the world over, the Court of Cassation.
Garco.
Cassation.
There you go.
Really kind of linger on the S. In Rome, even came up with a term for the offense, which is called olfactory molestation.
Did you try? So did you want to say that with an Italian accent? Or
I kind of did.
Yeah,
but
it's a me olfactory.
So the ruling emerged from a long-running battle between neighbors in an apartment block in the town of Monfalcone in the Adriatic coast, close to the border with Slovenia.
Okay. All right. So they've ruled. They're setting a precedence here, saying that whatever smells were coming out of this place were offensive. Someone was so mad that they went to the police and said something bad is happening over there and it is affecting my life.
I want to say that the odor, the smell of the food doesn't necessarily matter in this case. I want to say that the fact that there's a smell coming from another place and it's not your smell and you can smell it inside your house, I think that's what the ruling is. And I would have to agree because that's gross.
Well, I have a problem with the line that's being drawn at food. If it is edible, if it is something that someone is going to put into their mouth.
Who says they're going to put it in their mouth?
Because it's food.
Yeah, but what if they're burning it? You still going to eat the burnt food? No.
Well, but you can't. You shouldn't go to jail because you burned your turkey.
I don't know. I don't think it discusses jail time in here. I think it might be a fine.
15 years.
Oh, geez.
If you go further in the article, yeah, that's exactly what they say.
No, okay, Kyle. It says it dismissed the offending couple's earlier appeals and ordered them to pay a fine of 2,000 euros. That was the earlier one. What happened to the most recent one?
I see here.
We didn't really read this beforehand.
No, I see here in the article that they were making something. They were making vats of rich pasta sauces and some sort of mixed fried seafood, which is, I guess, some sort of fish and chips Italian style.
They went beyond the limits of tolerability.
Okay. Yikes. But I don't understand. I guess you could be offended by a smell.
Kyle, some of them are claiming depression and psychological trauma.
I can understand the residents of an entire town saying, hey, my lungs are burning because someone's making sriracha in my town.
Sriracha.
I'm going to take all the liberties with pronouncing things today because I can. Someone is making sriracha here in my town and then taking the whatever is left over and having it go into the atmosphere, and now I cannot breathe. That makes sense because that's on an industrial scale. But to
right, and that's like physical well-being at that point.
Yeah, and it's affecting not just the personal feelings of one person.
What if I really liked the smell of sauce baking in a vat? What if that was like my favorite smell? I would have them sell their place. I would buy it.
Can we have a new segment on this show called My Favorite Smell?
My favorite smell is the smell of the concrete when it rains for the first time in a while.
Ooh. Okay. All right. My favorite smell is putting hot water into a cast iron pan that has only chicken fat.
That is oddly specific, but okay.
That's what I did today.
Okay.
I also
discovered after 30 years, I discovered my favorite smell.
Chicken fat.
So steamy chicken fat.
This is completely unrelated, but I have a bad habit of before we record this show, breaking things that are made of glass.
Kyle, again?
Yeah, I broke a plate.
Oh, man.
Right before we started recording, I dropped. Oh, so I was trying to wash a plate and squirt some soap onto a plate so that I could rinse it. It had olive oil on it, so I needed a little bit of some basic soap. And I went to do the squirty part on the soap, the top thing. And I touched it with my oily hands and it went swoop right onto the plate and it broke it in the very center and it broke into four pretty equal pieces. It was nice. Nice looking.
Wait, was the soap dispenser made of like metal?
Yes.
Oh. Well, there you go. So there's your problem. Whoop. Right. You're working in an industrial plant with metal soap dispensers.
Yes. Yes, I am. I live in a vat. Hey, what else is going on?
Moving on, Kyle. Someone hacked every tornado siren in Dallas. Period. It was loud. Period. Play it.
Okay. 53 seconds, though. I don't want to get in trouble. We got in trouble last time for playing all the sounds from
I don't think from this Chicago. Maybe this isn't even the sounds.
All right. But here's the news story. I can play that.
Can you?
Yeah. Here
Dallas
it is.
Residents got an unexpected wake-up call Friday night when all the city's 156 emergency sirens were set off just before midnight. Officials say a hacker was to blame.
It sounded
okay, that's it. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. She just did all my job for me.
That's
right.
That's right. 156 emergency sirens going off.
All of them.
At exactly the same time.
Oh, it would have been way better if they were all kind of like 1 second apart. So it'd have this really weird phasing effect across the city.
Mm.
That would be awesome.
Yes. Yes. Or if it, if you were driving along the freeway and one started, and then as you drove, the next one started.
Wouldn't that mean that I'm the hacker? It's like proximity, I can finally make it.
Ugh. Can you be a hacker if you don't know that you're doing the hacking? It's like an internet. See, yeah, culpability.
Ooh.
It's
that's like a book. That's a novel right there. Someone. This is the segment that we like to call Kyle and Kenny accidentally come up with a book title.
Well, it's not. It's not that far fetched. Simply because people have taken over probably both your things, Internet of Things, and my things, Internet of Things, to use them as whatever the hacking
proxies
term
for a DDoS.
Exactly. That is a very, very distinct possibility that it has already happened. So
Right. Kinda
sort of the same thing a little bit.
But we're not like the ones actively doing it.
Well, maybe you aren't.
Who gets the idea to set off the Dallas emergency sirens? Are these like the ones that they play for when Dallas Hurricanes tornadoes show up?
Oh, that's the basketball team, right?
The Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Hurricanes. Isn't that a NHL team?
Yes.
Okay.
It's pretty good. It's a good name.
Name.
They get blasted with hurricanes all the time.
Is that the name of the book though? Miami Hurricanes?
Which book? Our book?
Accidental book?
The Roderick Brothers accidental book?
That's right, Kyle. All right, we're done with that.
Okay.
I'm just scared.
I don't know if I would handle myself very well if the entire city started blaring like that.
Did it say how long the sirens went off?
No, I closed the tap.
It doesn't matter because the longer the sirens go on, the more acclimated you become to them. I would be
more scared if it was like half a second of siren, or if it was just like,
but that's
literally
the point
wakes up every single person in the city of Dallas. That is the time where they set the world record for the most number of people awake at once in a city.
Yeah, well, Kyle, speaking of world records, the world record for retweets, there you go, could be broken over some free chicken nuggets.
What?
That's right, Kyle. It began quietly the morning of April 6th, 2017.
What?
Carter Wilkinson asked Wendy's Twitter account how many retweets he would need to earn a free year's supply of chicken nuggets. Like most tweets shouted out at the faceless void of hashtag brand Twitter accounts. It should have ended there, except Wendy's responded with 18 million retweets for a year of free chicken nuggets.
Okay. So you have a goal now.
That is a challenge. The gauntlet is thrown down.
Do it.
Here we go. 18 million retweets.
I saw this when you retweeted it. So you have now contributed to this person's potential access to a year's worth of chicken McNuggets.
No. These are Wendy's nuggets.
No, they're all, listen, everything's a McNugget to me.
Okay, so this was back on, actually it was on April 5th. So his goal is 18 million, right?
And there's no time stamp thing. There's no time restriction for this.
It just says 18 million. So this is ongoing.
All right.
It's been 5 days. He's at 2.4 million. The buzz is kind of gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone. So I have no interest. I will. Okay, maybe I would contribute if it was close to 18 million. Maybe.
So what if it was on like 15 million,
uh-huh,
and it needed three million more. So I think the threshold is probably half. I'd say if he can get to 9 million retweets, that's kind of like there's that last kind of hump in that weird kind of graph where if you can get it. Sorry, I just saw out of the corner of my eye the basketball game. Uh-huh. Some dude dropped his contact onto the court. Da-na-na. His eyeball contact.
Da-na-na. Okay.
That's right.
How do you...
Sorry, just interjecting some sports in here.
How does that fly
out? Why would you pick it up off the court?
Ooh. How do you get that kind of thing slapped out of your eye?
With the ball?
Does it end up on the ball?
Oh, the eye is looking at you when you grab the ball.
Yeah, you get hit with the basketball in your head, and then the ball replaces your eyeball, and so you have a basket eye now.
Oh, it's, instead of like a glass eye, they replace it with a big basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball.
Da-na-na.
That was your little
sports report.
But I was saying, I think if he can get 9 million. He crosses that threshold, then everyone sees it as we're halfway there.
Like, whoa.
Stop. Lizard in a chair.
So, are you trying to help this person?
I did help this person. I did retweet this.
Do you want this to happen? Do you think this is a good idea?
Because what I believe would happen, if it happened, I think it would make national news. Wendy's would totally.
It's already made national. No, it's already made national news. It's
but it would
here.
Make it again because it's not happen. This isn't happening. I mean, it's been 5 days. He only has 2.5 million.
So what you're saying is that
I'm saying like 2 months down the line,
there will be a nightly news segment dedicated on 60 Minutes to whether or not Charlie has 18 million retweets.
Carter,
whatever, doesn't matter.
No, I don't think that there's going to be like a Carter watch or a Nugget watch. But maybe that's what someone should hack into my Internet of Things. Apply a Twitter handle to each of those and then retweet. Light bulbs in the house.
Yeah. Here's the only reason why I would press the retweet button to help Charlie out here.
It's easy. You just press a button, Kyle.
Yeah. But the main reason why I would want to. Is so that I could take it away when he's close to 18 million.
Oh my gosh, that kind of person.
I click that retweet button once again.
Gasp.
And you don't get your nugs.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm going to do it.
You're awful.
I don't think he's going to get it. It doesn't matter.
17,999,999. And as soon as he goes to 18 million, like, nope, unretweet.
Yep.
What?
So, Kenny, what else is going on?
Kyle, Disney files patent for, quote, huggable and interactive humanoid robots.
I thought you'd like this.
Disney wants to build a bunch of huggable robots so that they don't have to hire actors to be inside those costumes at Disneyland anymore.
Is that the reason?
That's what I would do. If I was King of Disney, if I was Mickey Mouse.
Hi, I'm Disney King.
Hi, come, I'm Mickey Mouse.
Come,
Mickey Mouse. I don't know if you guys knew, but that's his actual voice.
He just never talks. He never talks
yes,
like that.
He does.
No, Mickey, what?
Mickey Mouse talks?
No. Does he sound like Mario? What does he sound like?
Oh, I can't do it right now. My voice is strained.
Oh. I don't think.
Oh boy.
Oh,
like that.
Okay. I thought.
That's all I can do.
I thought he was
say,
from.
Oh boy.
I thought he. I thought he was from a silent movie, and so he did not have a voice.
Well, he whistled in that movie, Kyle. Of course, it's not silent.
But the thing is with these huggable robots. When you're talking to the characters on the street, like you go to Main Street USA, you're like, hey, Mix, what's going on? Do they talk back from inside the suit?
No,
they don't say anything, right?
No. They're mimes at that point.
So. I feel like Disney has already mastered this. They have animatronics ready to go. They look.
Yeah, but that's on a ride. You can't go up. You can't get out of your seat on a ride and go up and hug like Jack Sparrow.
Don't tell me what I can and can't do when I'm inside of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Okay. Don't tell me what I can and can't do after I've paid for my steak. While I'm sitting there smelling chlorine. All they need to do is seriously just wheel.
Who wants to hug a pirate?
I do. I want to hug.
Kyle and Kenny accidentally come up with a book title. I don't want to hug a pirate.
No. Who wants to hug a pirate?
Oh, who wants to hug a
pirate?
It's
a question.
Question mark?
That's what gets you into the book. And then you read the book from there. What? So
it's just the same question on every page. Really? Do ya?
No, we answer the question on each page. We give you a full list of the names of the people.
Maybe.
Who would absolutely be willing to. All I was going to say.
Let me get into the story a little bit.
Will you? Okay? Because I think we're a little off the rails.
We're a little off the rails, but let me kind of give us back a little bit. The patent, which was first reported by the Orlando Sentinel, has a suitably warm and fuzzy name. Quote, soft body robot for physical interaction with humans.
Jack Sparrow.
It describes mostly rigid robots with the exception of, quote, fluid filled voids and
organs,
flexible membranes and pressure sensors.
Skin, fingers.
And these would all work in tandem to guide the robot's joint motion. Ideally, this would result in a, quote, soft modular robot that is huggable and interactive.
Here's what they're going to do. They're going to take cast members and they're going to call them robots.
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be called Disney. Oh, my gosh. I accidentally crossed Disneyland and Westworld into Disney World, and that already exists.
Okay, wrong. Hold on, wrong one. Okay, wait, hold on. No, that's also the wrong one. Hold on. Wait. Here comes the right one. There you go. I'm learning the soundboard again.
This is a segment called Kyle and Kenny actually come up with the name of a place that already exists.
Yeah. It sounds like they want to make robots that feel, robots that have organs, and robots that have
not
skin.
Not organs.
Yeah. Like,
I guess skin is the largest organ in the body. Right? Isn't that the saying that people say?
Yeah.
That's kind of true, maybe?
I'm not a medical scientist, so I don't know.
I am not a professional doctor.
I am not a professional, period.
That's, oh. Are you a professional comma?
Would you hug a robot? Would you hug a robot shaped like Mickey Mouse? Could you tell the difference between Robo Mouse and Hugh Mouse? Could you?
Number one,
they wouldn't talk.
Number one, would I know going into the hug? Would I know if it's a robot or not? Or am I going to kind of blind? Like it could be, it could be not, or it could not be. I mean, what's the deal?
I don't know.
What's the stipulation here?
I would assume, seeing how close Disney has gotten with the mannerisms of Jack Sparrow, that they would be able to basically just slap wheels to the bottom of him, wheel him out into Main Street, and you wouldn't know whether or not it was Depp.
Wow. But you could still touch him and stuff.
You would touch. Yeah, you touch.
See, now,
touch.
If I could touch Jack Sparrow, I would know that it's not actually Johnny Depp, because ain't no way that's happening.
Be cold.
He's a weird dude.
Or it would be a warm robot. They're not saying anything about the temperature of the character. It said
fluid filled. I imagine you wouldn't go with cold fluid.
Hot fluid.
Yeah, hot like fluid. Oil.
Filled the robot.
Mm-hmm. I got a fluid of it.
I got
hot
a
fluid.
I, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have
this is an episode full of great songs and ideas.
Maybe the musical where you ride the train to Chicago is called Who Wants to Hug a Pirate?
Who Wants to Hug a Pirate?
Yeah. I think that's
Broadway this season.
Yes. And we take you through what it's like to ride the Pirates of the Caribbean
without
the ability Huggles. To actually hug the robot. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Kyle, maybe we could watch that on Google's new YouTube TV, which is going to let you watch cable for $35 a month. You see that segue?
Yeah.
It's kind of dumb, but I don't care.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
YouTube TV is officially happening. Google on last Wednesday, announced that the world's largest video sharing website is getting a live TV streaming service that will let you watch 40 channels at launch, including the 5 major broadcast stations, with more coming in the future. The $35 per month service, which launches in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco Bay Area, Chicago, and Philadelphia, with other regions to follow, will let you stream ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and the CW. So,
can you get this? Do you have this?
I don't have this. I live next to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, I was curious.
Fortunately, I am beyond the fringe. As much as I'd want to be. However, I think that means that if it were to expand, they're either going to pick totally new areas or they're just going to expand the current areas.
But the crazy...
That's my hope.
The crazy part is that you're included in what would be like home territory for Giants games and for any sport-based thing.
Any Bay Area sports,
right.
I do get blacked out. My area, because it is kind of closely tied. Yeah, I don't know. It says it's not available. I'll still wait for it. This, so far, this is kind of my front runner. $35 a month. And that sort of matches DirecTV,
yep.
PlayStation View.
Yep.
Sling, I think, is a little cheaper, but their packages can range from like $20 to like $80.
Depending on what channels you put in there. The thing with YouTube TV right now is that it's not too flexible with the packages that you can add on top of it. I believe they have a package specifically for soccer, and that's it.
Well, and I'm sure that they're going to start expanding that. So I'm going to shoot out some of my favorite channels here currently on YouTube TV. ESPN. I want that. There we go. Exactly.
It's like the 18th time I've played it.
I know. Right. FX. Sci-fi, I'd Ooh. Want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd want. Of course, I would want the NBC Sports Nation, which covers all of the like the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. All of their games are on the.
It's
on
what
the
used net. To be the Comcast Sports Net.
That's right.
CSN. Yeah,
they just switched like last weekend. Yeah. They just switched to NBC Sports
opening day.
AMC is on there. That I like that. IFC. I really like IFC too.
Now, what you need to mention is that you get unlimited DVR with this service, which is
cloud DVR.
Right. Which I believe is different from the rest of those services. It's probably especially like Sling and whatnot that are.
I believe DirecTV kind of has that, but what I've heard is that it is not utilized very well, / it doesn't work. Like they advertise.
I'm just used to those days where you're like, oh, hey, I want to just keep recording Popples. But, you know, I have to delete Follow That Bird because I got to make room for this new show that I want to watch.
Follow that bird.
You know, follow that bird.
So let's dive in here, Kyle. Full disclosure, you have YouTube TV.
I got it.
Or you are testing it out, right?
I'm tubing the TV. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think so far?
It's great. It's wonderful. I love it. It's fantastic.
Why do you say that now?
My setup is Chromecast, first generation Chromecast, plugged into a television, and then a multitude of Android devices and iOS devices.
Now, they have said, or Google has come out and said, if you're using a first generation Chromecast, it doesn't really like to play nice.
No, it's garbage.
There could be errors. They went into it knowing that. Yep. They're kind of pushing you to jump up to their newer stuff, which isn't that expensive.
No, but it just reminds me.
It's like buying a set-top box, but it's a one-time purchase.
Yeah, yes, and it works for a lot of different
everything.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I use the Chromecast for a lot of stuff, but I think you have my Chromecast.
I do have your, I think it's the second generation, right?
I need that. I got that.
You can have it back.
Okay.
You're going to Chicago. Tough.
Can I have it back?
Please. Yeah, you can have it back. Okay. I'll buy my own.
Good.
I won't be cheap. I'll buy my own.
So I'm using a first generation. It does warn me before I am about to cast something. It's like, this may not work. You may need to do it more than once. It just is kind of garbage. So
does your Android phone become like your remote at that point?
Yes, it's more like the TV guide. So I'm able to browse through shows. I'm able to browse through stuff that's recorded, stuff that's available that I have not recorded, but is just part of the service.
And you, movies, as you're going through the guide, you can record from there.
Yes.
Or you select it to record.
Correct. So what you're basically doing is you're selecting a show or an event, as they call it, to say, whatever this is, I want to add it to my library, and it will either, when it's on live, record it then, or add that show. Like, what's a good example? Law and Order SVU. If you hit add, it's going to show you all of the past episodes for this season inside of your library, as well as the ones that are coming up.
So that's kind of like, for people who use Google Drive, that's like YouTube TV is sharing all of the past episodes with you, but you've added access to those to your drive or to your DVR.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can access those.
It's like
from your own drive.
It's like you subscribed to a podcast and you got the back episodes for some of the shows, at least, not all of them.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to add more as you know, they move on.
Maybe.
I think this is a good move. Yeah. I think this is a good move for YouTube. They tried out YouTube Red and to limited success, I believe.
I love it.
I love it too, of course. But I think that they tried that out as a kind of like test the waters. See, okay, people would pay for paid content, or, you know, they pay for content through YouTube. Let's go a step further. Let's go to TV. And I think the next move with that is to add, you know, all the channels. And with a big player like Google and YouTube behind the streaming service, I mean, there's already a bunch of big players like DirecTV and PlayStation. But to have YouTube and Google step into that, that's gonna create enough competition that cable channels will stop with the packages and the overpricedness of cable channels garbage.
They're going the opposite way now. Comcast is going to start offering phone service, like cell phone service, Xfinity.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Comcast Mobile.
So they're just getting out of one business and jumping right into another. And
yeah, except so YouTube is pivoting the right way. Comcast is pivoting the wrong way.
I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about it other than I like the way it works, and for checking it out for 30 days for free. Sounds good to me. I may cancel. I may cancel if we watch everything that is on our watch list and then not resubscribe.
Especially during the summer,
there may not be any shows that we want to watch. You got to wait until the fall for more stuff to show up. That's what's nice about it.
I would have ESPN on 24/7.
I do.
That's the channel that I miss the most of not having, of being a cord cutter. Like I don't get my ESPN.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, in sports,
and in order to get an ESPN, I need either a cable subscription or I need one of these internet services.
Being,
and I just haven't been able to pull the trigger on any of these.
Being that it's YouTube, though, you go down just as deep of a hole when you put on the TV. Because it is like YouTube holes for channel surfing. It is the combination. No. It is the combination.
And it's all on your TV.
Of both of those on your television in a very hands-off kind of like, well, I'm just going to put this next thing on. It's like queuing up stuff on YouTube to watch on your TV in the background.
Oh my gosh.
It's a bad habit. It's a really bad habit. But okay, I do find myself doing that. It's a great service.
It's good that you warned me now so that when it does finally launch in my area that I'll know the one thing to avoid. Like put a time limit on my Chromecast or something. Yeah,
you could if you have it hooked up to, you know, one of those Wimo thingy things.
It's called a Wimo, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there's your news.
Well,
there's your long-winded news.
I've got something. So kind of in celebration of, let's say, today's home opening win for your San Francisco Giants.
I wouldn't call it a win, though.
Why?
Because Buster Posey got knocked in the head in the first inning.
That's true. However, the pitcher got a double. Well, it was a single, but scored three runs off of two errors.
That's true.
So that I
da-na-na, da-na-na.
There's your update.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of sports in this episode.
It happened in the past. Hey, it's for those people who care. I wanted to get into this. This is a link over on Newsweek.com. The 24 new food items at Major League Baseball stadiums in 2017, ranked from the least to the most disgusting, according to Newsweek Culture. Ryan Bohr.
I'm glad that it's going that direction because that's the direction we want to go.
Is it though?
It is. It is definitely is. Nothing, we want to start with the thing that, yeah, of course I'd eat that.
We cover this every single year. And yes, they're gratuitous, but they're also pretty awesome a lot of times.
Then again, it's when we get to number one, the grossest, there's no question I would try it.
You want to put bets on it right now? I'm going to say that it's probably at either the new Braves ballpark or it's at the Arizona Diamondbacks ballpark. Mm. One of those.
My money's okay. If I have two options, mm-hmm. I'm picking St. Louis or Ooh. Milwaukee.
Okay.
Milwaukee or like St.
Real,
Louis. Those are
real
my picks.
Real heavy beer drinking stadiums. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
yeah, you gotta soak up all that beer with some gnarly grossness.
We're going to go through 24 items here and you're going to probably tune out, but I will go very quickly through these okay, first
and then,
couple.
And then I will answer yes or no.
Tuna,
if I'd eat it.
Tuna poke bowl from Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
Loaded tater tots from Dodger Stadium.
Yes. Holy cow.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. Nice work. If I can say so, yeah. Lobster melts from
yeah, of course,
from Fenway Park.
Oh my gosh, it's like a lobster grilled cheese.
Doesn't that look good?
It looks amazing.
It looks fantastic, and that bread is grilled on both sides.
Oh yeah,
into sort of like this pocket of lobster and cheese.
That's great.
I can get behind that. 21 bacon wrapped pretzel baguette at Chase Field.
Holy cow.
So Chase Field is the one in Arizona. So we've already we've hit number 21. That doesn't sound disgusting, but it does sound kinda intense. Yes, that was definitely the word I was looking for.
But I would totally do that.
Bringing up the Black Forest ham and Swiss. Wow, $16 though for that baguette.
Yeah.
Expensive. Here's your favorite, Miller Park smoked bacon mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I don't think you'd get that level of bacon. Here in the image, we'll make this available in the show notes, by the way. You would not get...
It's like they sprinkled bacon and then missed a ton of it on the table.
Yeah. Oh, man. What happened? At least get a little more of that in there, please.
Yeah.
19, Choco Kebab from Guaranteed Rate Field. You know where that
okay,
is?
Okay, I gotta play this video here.
Chicago White Sox, looks like.
Okay, they put like this chocolate log on like one of those spinning meat things.
Oh my gosh. Chocolate meat log.
Chocolate meat log.
But they don't grill it, right? It's not grilled. It's shavable chocolate. Spinning spit of shavable chocolate. Sounds strange. It's a dessert, which are going to sound way more intense than any of the other ones, but we'll go with it. That's fine. Okay. 19, go get that. 18, loaded Bayside fries from Citi Field.
Okay, so this is loaded. This is the Mets.
Yeah, clam this strips, is loaded with Bayside fries, clam chowder fondue.
I want this right now.
Yeah. Anything with seafood sounds good on paper, but ordering it at a ballpark, unless you are near water or
unless you're first in line.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't do that. 17, lobster poutine. More lobby.
There you go.
Lobby the lobster over Fenway Park.
Yeah, I was going to say, you made a good point that if you're not in a seafaring stadium, it kind of doesn't make sense to have seafood. But we also grew up next to San Francisco, and so yeah, we were kind of spoiled that way.
Well, I did have the best sushi of my life in Texas. So, not landlocked, but there's still. There's,
yeah.
Middle of Texas.
Yeah, keep going.
16, desert poutine.
No, dessert poutine.
Hey, listen, I can say things however I want to say them.
Desert poutine sounds like a terrible novel. It's Welcome to the deserts of Canada.
It's the cold, blustery winters of Canada. The only savior is the dessert poutine from Rogers Centre,
which is what? Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad, Toronto. 15, Spam Grilled Cheese Sandwiches from Minute Maid Park, which I have been to.
That's kind of lazy, I think.
Is it, though?
It looks kind of lazy.
Spam cheese. The bread's a little thick for my liking. Texas toast, like squish and squash and smash and Texas toast.
Yeah, not the best presentation here.
I would agree. 14, we've talked about this one, the churro dog.
Ooh, churro dog.
That's a chase.
I'm eating that. I'm eating that right now.
I could not bring myself to order it when I was there.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I could not.
Are you kidding me? That's like the best thing ever.
To see this at number four.
It's like a chocolate donut sundae.
No, I know. But to see this at number 14 when it was pretty much number one last year.
Oh, man, that's right.
Things are about to ramp up real quick. Number 13, Brunch Bloody Mary from Tropicana Field.
I don't think
we
have to go any further than that with that description. It's a Bloody Mary with a brunch on a steak here.
No, but here's what's on that stick that is sticking out of your Bloody Mary. You've seen
a skewer.
You've seen like burgers and people who go to Vegas will take pictures of their really, really terrible artery clogging brunch Bloody Marys. Fine. This is more quaint, I would say. The bottom looks like a date wrapped in bacon or something. Some sort of bacon wrapped item. Sausage. You think that's a sausage?
I think it's bacon wrapped sausage.
I was going to go with a date. That sounds a little more classy, but you're probably right. Sausage. A full hard boiled egg then tops that.
Yeah.
Really underdone Eggo waffles with a tiny chicken nugget in between. And then two donut holes on top of that.
The tiny chicken nugget in the middle.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Hey, okay, go get that. Tropicana Field. Number 12, brisket mac and cheese, grilled cheese. It's from Guaranteed Rate Field.
I can't not look at this and want it immediately.
16-inch brisket mac and cheese grilled cheese.
With a Syrah barbecue sauce.
That sounds pretty good.
Oh,
what
man.
Kind of bread is this, though? It looks like they sliced the loaf in half and just did it that way.
Yeah, it does look like the two kind of outside edges of a white bread loaf.
The bread was grilled separately from this sandwich, so I don't know. I mean, yes, we could get into Alton Brown's "It's not grilled cheese unless you grill the cheese." I'm not gonna talk about that. Eh. But this just doesn't look like they assembled it until the very end. So
that's
I don't
true.
Know. I just
that's true.
You'd have to share this with a whole bunch of people and get it sent up to your suite. You're not gonna eat this in a normal baseball chair.
Can I get two of these grilled brisket cheese things
for my
row?
For my baseball chair, please.
For my row.
Please bring that down
for
now.
For my section.
Number 11, sweet chipotle fried chicken from Minute Maid Park.
Yes.
This is on top of a waffle, a very nicely handmade waffle.
Oh, wait a second.
Some sort of feta on top? Blue cheese?
Blue cheese on a sweet potato waffle. Whoa, big mistake, yo.
Really? Really? What?
This could have been great. Blue cheese. I think blue cheese on a waffle does not make any sense.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you in two times.
I understand. Kyle, yes. Kyle loves his blue cheese. I get it. I like blue cheese, too.
Stink
but
me.
But I don't think it would work here.
I think you would be impressed with how the smokiness of the chipotle and the sweetness of that outside would go so well with kind of the wing-like texture, you know, you get on a chicken.
Yeah,
with
but the
that
waffle's
blue
already sweet. That's the,
I doubt
the
it.
Mistake they're making.
I doubt it.
Sweet. All right, let's say this. Maybe not the sweet potato waffle. Make a regular crispy waffle.
Okay. I can get behind that. Yeah.
Then the textures, I think, would match a little better. That looks really soft and mushy.
Number 10 is where I'm going to go. Camden Yards. I'm waiting for you to think whether or not I thought that Camden Yards was in Chicago or whether or not this was the place that I actually wanted to go. Number 10, bacon pork rind chipper.
It's, I thought you wanted to go for the bacon pork rind chipper.
That's the main reason why I wanted to go. Yes.
Yeah.
This is a bunch of pork rinds with nacho cheese, bacon bits, and sour cream.
So it's pork rind nachos, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's a good idea.
Go see the Baltimore Orioles and you can have this. Number 9, Coney Island Pizza. This is from Comerica Park.
Holy cow. What is on this thing?
Is it a burrito or a dog?
Is it a hot dog or a pizza?
Is it a hot dog or a pizza?
Or it could go horribly wrong.
I have no idea.
So here's what they did. They got a rectangle pizza.
Little Caesars.
Four into quarters.
A literal Little Caesars.
Yeah, right. They sliced either a sausage or what could be kielbasa.
Uncooked onions.
Uncooked, exactly. Raw, like toenail-shaped onions.
And toenails. Drizzled. Why'd you have to say toenails?
And drizzled with mustard.
Yeah.
But there's still cheese on it.
This is for people who can't, they go to a ballpark. They can't decide whether or not they want to order a pizza slice or a hot dog. Because you get both. You get sliced hot dog on pizza-shaped bread, sort of, with some cheese for your pizza parts. And you got your mustard.
Pizza parts.
And you got your mustard and your uncooked onions that roll, hopefully roll nicely out of that dispenser that looks, that looks like people.
Let's move on.
Put my hot dog on it. Number
right,
8.
This is from the Braves. This is your second option.
Here we go. Tomahawk chop sandwich. Why don't you dare? Don't you dare.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. SunTrust Park is where that is. What is on this? Why can't they just show us?
They're calling it some sort of Frankenstein-esque dish.
Okay.
The most notable, let's see.
$26. Yeah, $26.
could satisfy four people.
Can it?
It has a video instead of like a picture.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch that. I don't really want to watch it. They say they have collard greens on it. Looks like collard greens, some sort of like potato, salad slaw with fried chicken. Holy cow. That's a heart attack. And that's number eight. Holy cow.
That is number eight. Number seven, chicken enchilada dog from Chase Field.
I'm laughing so hard because the tweet of this photo, the first word is hungry. 18 inches of chicken enchilada dog at Chase Field this season.
But instead of a tortilla, you get a tolera roll. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what a tolera roll is.
Let's search the Google and see what a tolera rolls recipe from King Arthur Flour. They're flatbread rolls. I would assume kind of probably like a torta.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like that. The bread that goes on the outside of a torta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I want to eat that, but I could probably do about a quarter of it and then 18? Pass out.
But see, this is where I think getting into the absurd things that you can get at a ballpark. Don't just make it bigger. Make it better.
Make it smarter.
Make it huggable. Number six. Pulled pork patty melt from Kauffman Stadium.
Holy cow. This puts Double Down in its own category, and it surpasses it with flying colors.
Can you describe to me what in the heck is happening here?
Double Down.
Yeah.
And you double down with funnel cakes on top of it.
With powdered sugar. There is powdered sugar on the funnel cakes.
Oh, you can't have funnel cakes without powdered sugar, Kyle.
See, powder.
What kind of monster are you?
I'm one who doesn't really like the look of funnel cakes, mainly because it looks like udon noodles that
like that, deep fried udon that noodles.
You deep fried and you put powdered sugar.
Oh, okay.
On top.
Well, here's the rundown.
Okay.
Powdered funnel cake plays the role of bread. Inside, it is barbecue pork, fried onions, cheese, and bacon. That fried blob on top is a jalapeno popper.
Ooh. Okay, so a little bit of spice,
way you're going to get all of this in one bite.
No, probably not. But you could get this down without sharing. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we need.
I think there's it shouldn't be number 6. This should be number 5, and then number 5 should be number 6. Go ahead and move to number 5.
Number 5 is funnel cake chicken sandwich from Chase Field, my favorite.
This version is like the tame version of the one we just described.
Yeah, like they put it on a white plate here to make it look more elegant than it probably is when you put it in your mouth.
But it's also more, it's you can handle this one.
You could. Yeah.
It looks a lot more manageable.
It does look more like a Double Down, though. A little bit more like a Double Down. What is that compote on top?
It's like a strawberry compote.
Looks great. Looks really good.
It does look really good, right?
I like the whole, except that the funnel cakes are going to be sweet. I would want my strawberry compote to be more like the number 6, where you've got the spicy jalapeno.
I was going to say
strawberry.
What if you added like chipotle to the strawberry compote?
You know, you're probably right. Blackberries do go better with jalapenos. So I commend you on your pairing of a more chipotle like smoky flavor with the sweetness and tang of the strawberries.
But then you get the savory from the chicken and the
But I am not a professional chef. I would not have any idea whether or not that's right, a good thing.
We're at top 4 here, Kyle.
Top 4.
Yeah, here we go.
Wait, here. Apple pie nachos from
Want this so bad.
From Coors Field. Now, Coors Field does have a couple of...
Wait a second.
Hold on. Whoa.
I'm looking at this picture. Okay, continue. I'll get to it in a second.
Okay. I don't don't know if I can. I don't know if I can get past this. Coors Field.
Go ahead.
Coors Field has a couple of weird things on their menus. Namely, I believe they have Rocky Mountain oysters, which I could not bring myself to order when I got to Coors Field, but maybe I will one day.
If you do it, how about this? I'll do it with you. If you do that again, you just have to bring me with you.
Okay.
That way you have a partner in crime to eat those things.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me describe this one, because I'm finding so much joy in it.
Please.
Apple pie nachos.
Apple pie nachos.
The Rockies really came close to developing something interesting here. Apple pie filling, whipped cream, caramel, and cinnamon sugar chips all check out. Those all check out. Mm-hmm. But here comes the big but, which is, this is what puts it at number four. They had to go all the way and throw cheese on top of it.
What?
For shame.
Hold on.
They put cheese on this, Kyle.
I thought that was some sort of like caramel drizzle. No. When I looked at the what image.
Happened? So here's what happened. Here's what happened.
What somebody, have you done, Rockies?
Someone was working in a partnership, and the person who works really hard was like, I have this great idea. Apple pie nachos. And they come up with all the good stuff. And then the other partner tried to take credit and was like, yeah, he put cheese on nachos. And then that's what happened. That's why I was laughing before.
No, you're right. You were right. You were right to laugh. This is a terrible idea. This is a very bad idea. But there's got to be something. See, apple and cheddar, that is also a very common pairing. So maybe there is something to this. The cinnamon and sugar, maybe not. But there is something to this. There is a pairing being made here, and they had to have tried this. They had to have tried this with people before they put it out. It also looks like it's in an upside down hat. Number three, the MVT from Global Life Park. Most valuable tamale. This is a 2 foot long tamale filled hot dog and a direct descendant, they say, of the Rangers' famous boomstick, which I did not have. That was introduced in 2012. The boomstick cost $26. This one, number three, the MVT, valuable tamale.
It looks like roadkill.
Will go for $27. Okay. I mean.
No.
You don't like this?
I'm saying no to this. It just looks awful. It looks like an eel got run over in the road and they put it on a surfboard.
Okay. here we go. I'm trying to load the image here. I don't need this. I don't need this right now. No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I don't need this right now. I don't need this right now. I'm trying to find. Trying to find what video is playing right now. Can you help me? No, I can't. I can't close the website. Hold on.
It's almost done. There it goes.
Okay. I think that was an ad.
If it was on loop,
it was an ad that I couldn't cancel. Okay.
Of course.
Just cut all that part out. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
So what's it look like?
I just told you what it looked like.
Great. Thanks, Kenny. Number two, Texas snowballs.
Oh my goodness.
This is from Globe Life Park.
My stomach just ran through the bottom of my butt.
Brisket, it says. That's it. Dipped in funnel cake batter.
Oh God.
Fried. And then dusted with powdered sugar.
What?
So they're like soft donut holes, but made in
full of gross and dried meat.
Entirely made of barbecued meat.
Oh gosh!
This is available if you go see the Texas Rangers, and you want.
This is what's inside of the boomstick.
This is what's
bunch in, of
It's a bunch of brisket balls.
I guess so. What is on the plate? Can you explain to me what the sauce is that's going on top?
It's probably a barbecue sauce.
Oh. Barbecue sauce and powdered sugar. I understand there's probably molasses or some sort of other sugar involved.
I accidentally
involved.
Looked at number one and I think I might throw up.
All right, Kenny. That's the wrong button. But here. I haven't looked at it yet. Here is number one. The Italian roast pork stack. Citizens Bank Park. What? So Citizens Bank Park is where the Phillies.
It's like if you take a picture of this, your camera breaks. It's like the subject matter is so disturbing. So
the funniest part about this for me right now is that my ad blocker is blocking this image. I can't even see it.
Yeah, disable the ad blocker. You need to look at this.
It's basically pornography. Like I can't see this image because
it's explicit.
There are black bars going over the Aramark logo. So they say it's boardwalk fries topped with in-house roast pork, sharp provolone cheese sauce, cherry pepper aioli, and chopped roasted long hots. Is that what we're looking at?
Kyle, it looks like someone ate it and then threw it up back into the garden.
You can follow me. I'm at dogbarf on Twitter.
No. Dog burps. Barf is what follows.
This is what follows. The
disgusting is not always quantifiable. A dish's ability to horrify cannot be discerned merely through an objective assessment of the chemistry of its ingredients, its size, or any other number of variables. Often this is enough, but the dishes that disgust in a way that you will remember years later do so on a visceral level. It's like pornography. You may not be able to define it, but you know it when you see it. Available at Philly's home games this year, the Italian roast pork stack features roast pork provolone, cherry pepper aioli, and roasted long hots, all of which would seem to complement each other nicely.
See,
but then you see the end product, and like pornography, you just know.
Yeah, so they know.
From Newsweek.com.
They know they have something on their hands, though. They know that this is a game changer, and they know that this is something that they want to put their mark on.
Part of it is out of focus, and that's also disturbing.
Yes, but they wrote the word stack, STAK.
Oh,
and they did not even trademark
that's
it.
How, that's, which that is, rhymes with yak, and that's about where I'm at.
I must stack it. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that that made the list. That was number one. I don't even think that. What is this?
I bypassed the ad blocker.
What is this? what's the thing on the right?
It's the shriveled husk that the stuff came in before.
What is that? Something slithered out the end of that. What's the cream thing? There's two creams. What? So that's not the image that I have. This is the image. That's the one I have.
Oh, Kyle, that's beautiful. No, that's the wrong picture.
How did you end up with that thing? So that's the real life thing, right? That's the one that you go to the stand. You go to the stand, and someone named Marsha.
They have your picture slaps in the together. Picture.
Yeah, I don't need this. I don't need that. So there you go. Number one. Nothing from Wrigley Field. Nothing from
Wrigley. Nothing from AT&T. St. Louis.
Nothing from St. Louis. A couple from Chase. Yeah.
A few from, I think like four on the list.
Yeah. I mean, you're in.
But all of them I would eat.
You're in an air conditioned coffin when you're at Chase Field. So
that's true.
I can understand you wanting to keep warm somehow.
I was wheezing a lot tonight.
You need that dog. So that's it. That's an episode. Let's call it here, huh?
Yeah.
You can follow Kenny. He is Pizza Robotics on Twitter. I am right. Dog Burps. The show is Morning Show AM, and the network is Good Stuff FM. Follow all of those. Follow every single one of them to get literally the same tweets four times. No. We'll be back. We will not be back. Oh, my goodness. We will not be back on Tuesday morning next week because I'm flying in that day. So stay tuned. We'll be probably recording later that day whenever you're available, kind of like today.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We want to give our listeners some content. You guys deserve a weekly dose of the internet's junk drawer.
Yes, you do. Also, leave a review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. So until next week, goodbye.
See you later, guys. Oh, I'm going to throw up.